Well, praise the Lord for that. God is great. Amen? Yeah, super. Well, the Lord's given me a wonderful message today, or I think it is, so hopefully you will by the time I'm done. Luke, it will be our chapter today, Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 43. Verses through 48. The title of today's message is Just One Touch. Just One Touch. And I tell you, the Lord really just gave me some wonderful things to share with you today, so I hope that you can enjoy it. For those of you visiting with us today, we are so glad you are here, and we hope that you really get something out of what we do, and that you've already had a wonderful experience with the Lord already. And just it's good to see all of you. And we're looking forward to all the different things that are coming. And it's good to know that we're in a church that's alive. Amen. And just ready to do some things. And you know, there's a lot of things that, as much as I'm excited about all that is happening, I hope there are a few things that I run across from time to time that never happen here at First Baptist Church. And I'll share it with you. Said there was three pastors, and they met together one morning over breakfast, and they were talking. They said, you know, since the summer started, man, I've been having a lot of trouble with bats. All kinds of trouble with bats. They get up in the loft, and they get in the attic, and they just cause a mess. And I'm so tired of them, but I can't seem to get rid of them. They just won't go away. Well, the second pastor said, yeah, you know, I got the same problem. Hundreds of them. They just up in the bell tower and just creating a big mess. And I've had them fumigated. I've had the exterminators come. I've done everything, and they just won't go away. Well, the third pastor, who just happened to be the pastor of the Baptist church in town, said, well, I'll tell you what I did. I baptized all of mine. I made them members, and they never came back. So don't do that. Don't do that. You know, there was another one that said an elderly lady one morning, she walked into the church service, and she was greeted by a very friendly usher at the door. And he said, ma'am, where would you like to sit? And she said, I want to sit in the front row. So you know this wasn't a Baptist church. But she said, I want to sit in the front row. And he said, ma'am, you really don't want to do that. And she said, well, why not? He said, well, the pastor's really not very good. He said, he's boring and dry, and you just won't enjoy it. I'm sorry. And she said, sir, do you happen to know who I am? He said, no, ma'am. She said, I'm the pastor's mother. He said, do you know who I am? And she said, no. He said, good. So, I don't want that to ever happen here. No, praise the Lord. Just one touch. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 43. And the Word of God says this. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I have perceived power going out from me. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, and she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for this glorious day. Thank you, Lord, that we can praise you today as good, Lord. Thank you today that we can lift our hearts to you and that all would be well with our soul. Father, I pray that this message would touch, Lord, as you have prepared it. Lord, that it would serve the purpose to be fulfilled today, Lord, for whoever it is here or all, Lord, to hear these words. I pray, Lord, that there is one or many among us today that needs to settle things with you before this day is over with, Lord, that opportunity would come and be clear. Thank you so much for what you're going to do. We thank you, Lord, that we can laugh. We thank you, Lord, that we can cry. We thank you, Lord, that we can praise your name. And we just ask you now, Lord, to be with us as we go into this time of worship and time around your word. And we'll thank you for all things. And all God's children said, amen. Again, we look today at something that's very familiar. You have to excuse me, I got a very dry throat today. This story is a familiar one. It's one that we've heard many times. If you've done any Bible reading at all or Bible study or what have you, the woman with the issue of blood. It's been around for a long time. It's something that touching the hem of Jesus' garment or the hem of his garment, depending on how it's written, sometimes has been made into songs, sometimes has been poems. There's been various sermons written about it. But today, I want us to look at something a little bit deeper. I want us to really, really focus in on what happened on that day. I want us to look beyond the medical issue, the miracle, if you will. And although that was serious, and although that was a real deal, and it was a real problem for this lady, I want us to look at four very important parts of her story and how they still apply to us as believers today. I want us to really grasp what the Lord is saying to us here today. So we look back to the opening in text, and we see in verse 43, we see what her problem is. It says, now a woman having a flow or an issue of blood for 12 years. Now we see this lady had a pretty serious problem. It's a pretty serious problem. That way beyond the normalcies of regular issues that women have to deal with. It wasn't a week, it wasn't a month. 12 years, and it never stopped. 12 years. This verse says that she had spent all her livelihood or all her money on physicians, doctors, and could not be healed by any. In other words, she was becoming desperate. What in the world is going to happen? What in the world is going to do? The first of our four parts is that we need to see, that we can relate to, is indeed she was desperate. She was looking for an answer. She needed a touch. Because what had seemed impossible to her, what had seemed impossible to others, this incurable illness, sickness, whatever the problem, it could not be fixed. That's what she kept being told. It cannot be fixed. She'd spent all of her money. Every doctor had told her, there's nothing we can do. You ever been told that? There's nothing we can do. And then to add to this discouragement, to add to this desperation, by the law at the time, she was called ceremonially unclean, meaning that basically she was cut off from everything. She was excluded from everybody. She wasn't allowed to be around people. She couldn't even go to church. She couldn't even worship. She was physically desperate. Her health was not good. Obviously, she was tired, weak, drained from this problem that seemed to never end. She was financially desperate. She'd spent all her money. She'd given her money to all of these doctors who did nothing but say, we can't help you. Sorry. Spiritually, she was desperate. She couldn't even enter into the temple because she was labeled unclean over something she had no control over. She was not supposed to be touched. No hugs, no affection, no anything. She needed a miracle. We look in Mark chapter 5. Do we see the same account here? We see the same account, but there is one verse that's a little different. It jumps out and it lets us know that somewhere, somehow, somewhere along the way, somebody told this lady about Jesus. Somebody told her the truth. Somebody told her, you can get just one touch from the Master's hand and everything's going to be okay. It says in verse 28 of Mark chapter 5, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. There was no question in her mind. There was no thought about it whatsoever. Somehow, some way, she knew if she could just get close to Jesus, everything was going to be okay. Her desperation, and it had been created through frustration, which oftentimes comes through other people. It comes through other attitudes. It comes through actions, all these different things. People saying, give up. People saying, nobody's going to help you. You can't be here. You're not welcomed. You just need to deal with it. You just need to deal with it. Get over it. Sorry, lady, there's nothing that can be done. But somewhere, we don't know where, we're not told, but somewhere, somehow, she found out, oh, there's one who can. She found out there's one that could take care of it. She realized that it took, though, really believing this. It wasn't just a forethought. It wasn't just a passing thing. It had to be real. 100% faith. In other words, that was the only way it was going to work. I got to really believe that if I merely could just touch his clothes, not just him, but if I could just touch what he was wearing, I could get better. You see, you had to understand what she was saying. It's what we have to believe today, that Jesus is who he says he is and he can do what he says he can do. We got to understand that. And that's what she could see. She really believed. She fully believed that he could. So she went after him. She sought after him. Her desperation. What we have to understand, how we apply this today. Her desperation is a picture of every lost person today. Of everyone desperate. The never-ending journey of trying to do it alone. I can't. I'm not sure. I this, I that. Other people telling me just to quit or to go away. That there's no use. Take this pill and hush. Just forget it. Those are the kind of things that keep pouring. The desperation sets in. And things begin to get worse. We begin to wonder, what am I going to do? Physically, it becomes draining. It can take over your life. It can change everything. You see, we understand and realize through the reality of the life and everything around us that life is no cakewalk. We know that. We know that it's not always easy. We move closer to death every day. We have to ask ourselves, am I ready for that? Am I ready to face that? Because death scares a lot of people. It scares a bunch of people because of uncertainty. But see, the Bible tells us you can know. You can know, and there don't have to be any doubts. Financially, a lot of people today are desperate financially, spending everything they've had, looking, searching for the answer, only to find the real answer can't be bought because it's free. The real answer can't be bought. Spiritually, oftentimes today, people are becoming desperate because sin separates them from the one true answer that they need. And that subject is oftentimes not addressed. In today's feel-good world, and today tell you what you want to hear, oftentimes the important stuff is left out. And oftentimes people are staying separated when they think everything's okay, and it's not. The one we need, the one we need is there, and he's just waiting. But we have to accept all these different things. And the number one thing we have to accept is we cannot do it alone. We cannot do it alone. We cannot fix it by ourselves. But if we can just get one touch, if we can just get one touch from Jesus in our lives, things will change. Things will get better if we will allow Him to become Lord and Savior of our life. I saw something this week that said Jesus is not Lord of all, then He's not Lord at all. That's pretty powerful. Think about that. We got to put Him in charge of our life. And then let the desperation, the anxiety, and all the other stuff that is in there, it'll start calming down. And it'll get replaced by freedom and joy. It'll get replaced by freedom and joy. This is one of those times we think, when we hear such things, Pastor, that sounds good, but that's easier said than done. It's easy preaching, but it's hard living. I understand that. And it may be true, but let me tell you, when we turn to this story and we see the walk that was going on with this woman, then we understand that desperation and how important that is. But we understand that it also leads us in to the second thing, and this is what we got to have. We may become desperate in life, but this second thing that shows us that she had is to be determined. You ever been determined about something? I'm absolutely 100% going to do it, and I'm not going to let nothing get in my way. Verse 44 says, she came from behind. She came from behind, and she touched the border of his garment. Now, she came from behind. What does that tell us? That means I pushed my way through. I didn't stop. I kept going because I knew where I needed to be. Now, we understand that many people followed Jesus when he was walking. So the crowd around him was probably pretty big. Pretty big. But she said, if I could only just touch him, if I could just get close enough to him and touch his garment, touch his robe. She was determined to get there and was not going to let anything get in the way because she knew that was the only answer. The only answer. And I'm going to do whatever I can to get there. That's what she was telling herself. Whatever it takes. She was determined. Now we have to understand there was a lot of things that were telling her no. There was a lot of things that were saying, you can't. But she said no. She was determined. She was going to make it through to go forward. This crowd was big. It was big. They could have easily made her think, oh, there's no use. It's just too hard. It's just too hard. I'll never get through. So I may as well quit. The disciples, they didn't have the nicest attitude either. They were kind of smart alecks, if you will. I mean, Jesus said, who touched me? And they said, men, are you crazy? All these people, and you say, who touched me? I mean, that's basically what they were saying. They didn't have the greatest attitude at all. They were basically saying, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? She could have felt insignificant. She could have felt so small in such a large crowd and just gave up and said, you know, Jesus is way too important to worry about just a little old me. I'm nobody. My problems really don't matter. They're pretty small. It's not enough for him to worry about. She could have looked ill. We're pretty sure she probably did. Maybe pale, weak, tired, given out. I mean, that's been a long, hard road, 12 years. So desperation had set in. She could have said, oh, well, just forget it. That mountain is just too high to climb. But no, something kept her going. Something tell her, don't give up. She was determined. She pressed through that crowd all the way to Jesus. Basically what she was saying was, I've come too far to look back. That's what she was saying. There's a song by that very title written by a lady named Nancy Harmon. And the words of this song just spoke to my heart this week. It said, I've come too far to look back. My feet have walked through the valley. I've climbed mountains and crossed rivers, desert places I've known. But I'm nearing the home shore. The redeemed are rejoicing. Heaven's angels are singing. I've come too far to look back. And it goes on and on in this first verse. It says, look around. There's no happiness. There's no reason for living. Life will give you a broken dream, filled with heartaches and fear. But turn around and don't look back again. Face the new day before you. Place your heartache in Jesus' hand and He will mend your broken dreams. Oh, I could go on and on, but when we got to think about it, this is what was going on. She was determined. She was desperate first and she had a serious problem. But she didn't let somebody tell her no. She didn't let something or let the world say, just forget it, just quit. She said, no, I'm going forward. I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to quit because I know that I know that I know that Jesus is the answer. That's what we still need today. We live in a defeated attitude world. We live in a compromising world. We live in a quit. We live in all these other things or try it all these different ways. No, just try it one way. Come to know the Lord. Because she's saying here, if I can just touch Him, if I can just touch His clothes, I'll be made well. We got to really have that kind of faith. We got to really believe that if we're going to move forward. Because it takes our whole heart. It takes our whole, every ounce of faith that we have to move forward in this kind of way. Because that's confidence. That's knowing without a doubt where we're going. and also understanding and absolutely not having one question, asking ourselves, who do I trust? Who do I trust? Because we know we can trust in Him. He'll never tell us wrong. He can do it. When we are desperate, when we are desperate to find what we are seeking, we must become determined. We must become determined to keep going toward the one who can. Going toward the one who just with one touch can supply our every need. That's what we've got to do. We've got to stay focused on that. And then we move to our third part, because you put those two together, you come up with deliverance. You'll be delivered. The Lord will show you. He says here in verse 45 and 46, "And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, Who touched me? But Jesus said, Somebody touched me. Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." You see, it wasn't just the mere touch of a hand. It wasn't the brushing by. And we know if we've ever been in a large crowd at a sporting event or a concert or anything else, a large crowd, you know, people brush up by you, touch your arm. I mean, that's the way it works if you've got a bigger crowd of people. No, he said, something happened. Something happened. I felt power go out of me. You see, this lady had a problem. She had a serious problem. And she learned there was only one answer. Only one answer, and she didn't give up until she got it. She pushed forward. She kept going to get to him. And when she got there, she found deliverance. She was delivered from her physical problem and from her spiritual hunger. It was an awesome thing. We can only imagine what it was like. And it came at the moment that she had contact with Jesus. At the very moment that she had contact with Jesus. This was a true touch of faith. You see, she reached out to Jesus believing that He could. He saw her heart. The physical need, that was simple. I mean, He could fix that, just like He can any of ours. He wants to know if we really believe He can do it. That's what He was looking for. He searched her heart. The faith that she was showing was greater than anyone in that crowd that day. We think of the hundreds, maybe thousands, whatever it was that were surrounding Him. And out of all of those people, her faith made her well. Because the Lord told her so. See, she came into it already believing. She came into it already knowing without a doubt that He could do it and that He would do it. See, I've talked about that before. Oftentimes we pray, we ask the Lord to do things, not understanding or doubting that He can. We must answer the question, will He? Because if we doubt that He will, it doesn't matter whether He can. Because we're asking Him to prove Himself, and He doesn't have to do that. She was not looking for proof. She already knew it. She was not looking for Him to prove anything. Jesus saw her heart. He saw what was down inside, and He saw true belief, true faith. And then He asked, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived." In other words, He had become aware of power going out of Him. He was sensitive to her touch, the same way He is to you and I. He is sensitive to our touch, to our earnest plea. He really wants to know whether we believe. He looks into our heart. Her faith created her deliverance. Her desperation drove her to be determined. And these two things combined together made her delivered on that day from all of her problems. Now, a lot of people come around Jesus today, but they never touch Him. He's there in case of emergency or this or that. But they're not looking for that touch. You know, that's like the old Gaither song, "He touched me and made me whole." That's what we need today. We need that understanding that if we come to Him in faith, not with expectation of, "Oh, He'll do it for me. I don't need to do anything else. I got it. You know, I'm on His top 10 list." No. No, He wants to know our heart. Do we really believe? Do we really believe? Or are we somehow looking for proof? Because He knows. He knows. And what we can learn in this message here today from this woman is indeed our desperation, it should cause determination. It should make us say, you know what? I got to find the answer. And there's only one. And when we get that determination, it will allow us to be delivered if we will allow Him to work in our life. And the fourth part, we find in verse 47. And now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before Him. And she declared to Him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched Him and how she was healed immediately. And see here, at first she didn't want to be recognized. She just wanted to kind of slip in and get what she needed and slip out, unrecognized, untalked to or whatever. She didn't want to be sought out. She was hiding in the large crowd. But Jesus stopped everything. He stopped everything, this whole movement, whatever was going on, wherever, you know, He was on His way to go and see Jairus' daughter. And He said, "Who touched me?" In other words, He stopped and He said, "You know, I'm not going to leave until I find out." Nobody wanted to say anything. It wasn't that He didn't know. He knew who it was. He knew exactly who it was. He wanted her to acknowledge it and for her to declare to everybody there what had just happened. Because we can be pretty sure that everybody knew who she was. Someone that had a problem for that long, everybody knows about it. You know, everybody knew. He wanted it declared. Declaration is our fourth part. Meaning, make a statement. Think about this. Shouldn't we all want to tell everybody what the Lord has done for us? Shouldn't we want to let people know how God has brought me through? And told me, you know, that everything is going to work out. He wanted everybody to know. It says, once she was revealed, that she came trembling before Him. She was overwhelmed at what had happened. Just blown away at what had happened. And that Jesus cared just about her. About her. When she had felt so small, so insignificant. But John 3:16 says, God so loved the world. That's me and you. That's everybody. We need to understand that in God's plan, in God's eyes, every single one of us count. No matter who we are. No matter what our problems are. She didn't understand that at that very moment until she was delivered. And then once she got delivered, she said, wow, Jesus cares about me. Jesus cares about me. All in this large crowd of people, one person stood out. One person received that touch of faith. Just one touch, my friends, is all it takes. That's all it takes. She then declared to Him, and it says, before all who were there, what had happened and that she was healed. And it was because of her touch to the garment of Jesus, and in return, His touch back. His faith, His power went out to her. Out of this large crowd, we read this account, beside Jesus and the disciples, out of all of these people, the only words that we have recorded from all of those people are the words of this lady. The only ones. The only ones recorded are her words, and they're still being used today. They're still being used today. To show others, you can just get one touch from Jesus and He'll change your life. So I challenge you today to understand this, that no matter where you are, no matter what you have going on in your life, no matter what you have happening, no matter where you are in the crowd, keep pressing forward. Don't give up. Be determined. Keep going forward, because not only did this lady get healed, she was delivered, because in verse 48, Jesus called her daughter. And the Word tells us that we, through Jesus, gained the right to be adopted as sons and daughters. Praise God. He told her this day, He said, "Daughter, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Jesus can and he does oftentimes in life give us a lot more than we ever planned on. He gives us above and beyond the things that we ask for or can even imagine. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, "Now to him who is able, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." My friends, he gives us the ability. Just one touch is all we need. Just one touch is all we need. And when we get that touch, there is no limit to what God can do through us if we'll let him. There is no limit to what he can do through us if we'll let him. The Lord placed a song upon my heart. I'm going to do my best to do it for you as I close. This song is called "Somebody Touch Me." And I believe this really speaks a whole lot.